Let's pray. So now, Lord, open to us Revelation chapter 4. I pray for clarity and the ability to communicate clearly. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, guys, we're talking about a wonderful book, the book of Revelation. As we saw in chapter 1, it says, blessed are those who read it, blessed are those who hear it, and blessed are those who take it to heart. So this is a book that promises a special blessing. And it is the story that was given to John as he was on the island of Patmos. We've covered this. The year was 96 A.D. He was the only living apostle that was left. The second of the Roman emperors, the one that came after Nero, Domitian, was the one who put him there on the island of Patmos. Nero had killed Paul, the apostle, by beheading him in 64 A.D. Domitian had Timothy killed in the pastor in Ephesus. And Domitian also had John put on the island of Patmos, a small island in the Aegean Sea, kind of treeless and barren. And on this island, while he was in exile, he received, of course, he was in prayer and he was with the Lord. John was a disciple that knew the Lord very well. And he received this vision that was given to him. It was given to the angel to give to John, and it was the revelation of Jesus Christ. The unveiling, like I said in the other studies, like a statue, apocalypto. It's like I pulled a cloth off of a statue and you could see something. This book reveals more of Jesus to us. And we have the four Gospels, but we learn so much more about Jesus in this book. And after his introductions and the fact that we're forgiven and things, he gave us that he encountered Jesus on the island of Patmos. He saw him glorified in his body. And remember, he saw him standing among seven lampstands and holding seven stars in his hands. And Jesus said, write on a scroll the message that is given. And we've covered all this, so I'm covering it fast right now. And that was chapters 2 and 3, the things that were given to the churches, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamum, Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. And we saw that those were seven churches that actually existed in Asia. And they also represent the entire church. Seven is the number of completion. The church today around the world. And it represents seven periods of church history, which I found wonderful to study. Ephesus being the first century church, and then Smyrna persecuted in the second and third century unto Roman Catholicism, Pergamum and Thyatira, and on to the Protestant Reformation, Sardis, but it was insufficient. And then you have the revived church, Philadelphia. And then you have the church of today in many ways, lukewarm, thinking that they're rich, but being actually very needy in the eyes of Jesus. So that we have covered that. Get the tapes if you missed it. I want you to look at chapter 1, verse 19. Once again, chapter 1, verse 19. That's the table of contents. Write, therefore, what you have seen. That's in chapter 1. That's the glorified Jesus. What is now? That's chapters 2 and 3, the church age. That's where we are right now. And what will take place later? The Greek word is metatauta. After these things, after the things of the church. Now, let's go to chapter 4. After this, chapter 4, verse 1, after this, metatauta, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven, and the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. There is an emphasis here on after this. The same word, metatauta, is used twice. That is used in the table of contents, chapter 1, verse 19. Come up here, a voice says. I will show you what will take place after these things. After what? After the church age. Beginning in chapter 4, the church is raptured to heaven. And now the scene is in heaven. And the church is not mentioned again at all in chapters 6 through 18. The church does not, the word church doesn't appear. It does not go through the Great Tribulation. the rapture of the church, Jesus said in John 14, I'm going to give you the references and I'll read some of them. I don't expect you to turn all the pages. But one thing that no matter what you believe about the rapture or not, and I believe we're going to have a pre-tribulation rapture, you know that Jesus is coming. Every Christian has to agree on that. John 14, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. Jesus promised to come back. There are 200 predictions of his first coming. There were even more predictions of his second coming. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is where we read about the rapture of the church. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. Brothers, we don't want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, those who are still alive, we who are still alive, and are left will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. The word for caught up is the Greek word harpazo and the Latin word raptus or rapture. It means to snatch suddenly. So there's the dead in Christ will have risen first. People that have died, our brother Omar, he's with Jesus right now. But there will be a generation who's alive that will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And this is a mystery. It's also in 1 Corinthians 15, 50 and through 52, 1 Corinthians 15, it says, I show you a mystery. And the word mysterion means something that's been hidden but is now revealed. And you read it, it says, I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. We're not all going to die. Sleep is a term for death. We're going to be changed. And he says, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. Word is metamorphosis, caterpillar to a butterfly. You get a new body. These bodies are wearing out rapidly. John Corson said, you see that gray hair in the mirror? That's God's gentle reminder that you're dying. Okay. Statistics on death, 10 out of 10. But there is a rapture in the Bible. I'm not going to read all the other ones. I'll just tell you about them. 2 Thessalonians 2, read it on your own. Verses 1 through 12, it says, the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, cannot be revealed until the one who is holding him back is taken out of the way. I believe that's the church. You see, the church right now restrains the Antichrist from coming on the scene. Hebrews 9:27. It says that he appeared once to die to bear sin. He will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Jesus is coming again. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14 says that we are waiting for the blessed hope, the appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. It would not be a blessed hope, ladies and gentlemen, if we were waiting first for the Antichrist to show up, then for the hailstones to fall down, then for the destroying angel to... And it doesn't... God has not appointed the church under wrath. It's not escapism. It's good doctrine. It says in Scripture, God has not appointed us under wrath. 1 Thessalonians 1:10... 1 Thessalonians 5:9, Romans 5:9, the church is not appointed to wrath. I know I'm giving you a lot of scripture. So if this is so, and again, I could bury you with this. There is a doctrine of the rapture, and Jesus said, in an hour you think not, the Son of Man shall come. Watch and be ready. It is imminent. If we knew that the Antichrist was going to show up first, I'd say, he can't come yet, you guys. I haven't seen the Antichrist. The Jews haven't rebuilt their temple yet, so you know. But it isn't. First, he's going to come. And we are so close. You have the rapture of the church, the taking up, the mysterious disappearance of the church is in the Old Testament. We have the story of Enoch. What happened to Enoch? He walked with God 365 years, and it says in Genesis, God took him. And it says in the New Testament, he did not experience death. Hebrews 11. He did not experience death. Enoch. What happened after Enoch? The flood of Noah. And Noah and eight people all together were in the ark. Enoch represents the rapture. Noah represents a type of the 144,000 that go through the Great Tribulation. How about the story of Daniel, where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are told that they must bow down to the tall 90-foot statue that Nebuchadnezzar made? And they go thrown into the fire, but they're not burned because there's a fourth one in the fire with them. Where is Daniel in that story? Daniel, in typology, has already been raptured. Daniel was actually probably back in the city. But these guys out in the province, they go. So again, you have a typology of the rapture followed by those who go through the Great Tribulation, the Jewish remnant. In the story of Lot, Lot was in Sodom, a wicked place. And Abraham was told by the angel of the Lord that I'm going to destroy that city. And he began to say, Lord, what if there's 50 righteous? Would you destroy it? And he said, no. What if there's 40? No. Don't be upset with me, God, but what if there's only 30? He worked a good Jewish bargain right down to 10 people. He said, what if there's 10? Would you spare it? He said, if there's even 10 righteous, I will spare it. Because you see, Abraham said, would not the God of the universe be fair? Will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? And the answer is no. Lot was rescued. God heard Abraham. And after Lot came out, then God sent burning sulfur. People, God is going to rapture the church. I don't know if I'll live long enough. I'm gray and in my 70th year on the earth. But I do know that the rapture is coming. Jesus means business. His word is true. It's not a game. He came the first time and died on the cross. He's coming the second time. He's going to rapture the church. Good morning and good morning and good morning. He is planning to rapture the church. And so we are in Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. And so these are all a typology. And again, come up after, and I'll show you what will happen, metatauta, after these things. The church is not going through the Great Tribulation. The church is not appointed under wrath and not going through the Great Tribulation. So Revelation 4, verse 2. At once I was in the Spirit, Revelation 4, 2, I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven and someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. So immediately the first thing we notice as we are taken up to heaven is a throne and one who is seated on it. The first thing you're going to see when you go to be with the Lord is you're going to see the Lord himself seated on the throne. And immediately we're struck by the beauty, the rainbow, the jasper, the carnelian, and the rainbow that surrounds the throne of God. When I was a child, to make you know how old I am, they had only black and white television. Wow. And finally, back in the 50s, they began, the 1950s, as I was a young boy, they began to develop color, and the people that had some money bought a color TV. So you go, oh, come to my house. I've got a color television. Wow, you go over there, you know. And then Walt Disney would have a program. The following program is brought to you in living color. Ooh, you see it, you see it? Even the movie The Wizard of Oz, you know, The Wizard of Oz was always start out in black and white. But then when Dorothy got to Oz, you know, all of a sudden it's in color. Well, the color that is heaven, the beauty that is heaven, is unparalleled. We're going to see beauty that we can't even imagine as we behold the throne of God, as we behold the city of God, as we are caught up to be with the Lord, and we're going to be in a place of beauty and awe. And so a rainbow encircling, resembling an emerald, that would be green, if you will, green-hued, encircle the throne. And we know that the world was destroyed the first time by flood, and the rainbow was a sign that that won't happen again. But the world, this present world, will be destroyed by fire. There's an expression we used to use as young Christians. We say, it's all going to burn. You know, you get a scratch on your car, hey, it's going to burn anyway. Nothing that is here is going to remain. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Don't hang on to anything too tightly here. It's just temporary. You're temporary. Your life's a vapor. So am I. We're just passing through. But the things of the Lord Jesus are eternal. I love it in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I read Ecclesiastes once a month. I don't know why I do that. I like it. And in the 12th chapter, it says, when it describes getting old. And it talks about someone who begins to stoop over. The grinders are few. He's losing his teeth. And, you know, and he doesn't see very well out the window. And he, you know, he's the grasshopper is dragging along like this. You can read it on your own, chapter 12. And it's just an interesting description of age. You got to laugh at age. Age takes courage. And it says, finally, desire is no longer stirred. I guess that means you lose any desire for sexual things. So I try and stay really attracted to my wife. This is important. But at that point, it says, then man goes to be with his maker. And it says, the dust returns to the ground from which it came, and the spirit returns to the maker. That's amazing to me. When we die, you know, you're just made of dust, but God put a spirit in you that makes you uniquely, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. But the body will return to the dust, but the spirit that is your spirit will go be with God forever and ever. So set your hearts on the things above, where Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. So he's caught up, he sees a throne, and then verse 4. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. And they were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. They are the seven spirits of God. Also before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. So now we encounter the 24 elders. 24 being a number of government. Most likely referencing the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles. The 12 apostles, the Jew and Gentile, one church together, the mystery of the Jew-Gentile church. 24, Israel and the Jew. And symbolically, the 24 elders are us. They are the church. And notice that they are dressed in white. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, he gives you white raiment. Fine linen is given for the wedding supper in Revelation 19. Fine, so we're dressed in white, all beautiful, all looking good. And so all these elders are in white, and they have a crown of gold on their head. This crown is a reference to the rewards that God has for his people. You see, there are two thrones in the Bible. There is, for the unbelievers, what's called the Great White Throne in Revelation chapter 20. At that throne, it says, everyone whose name was not written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. However, the throne that we appear before as believers is referred to in 2 Corinthians, let me give you the reference, 5:10, as a bema scene. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The Greek word is bema, and it means a place where rewards are given out. We are all going to stand before the judgment seat, every one of us. And that's a fearful thought. Every one of us will appear before the Lord, the judgment seat. But at the judgment seat, It says in 2 Corinthians 3, 10 through 15, if what you have built and labored for Jesus survives and goes through the fire, you'll receive your reward. If not, it'll be like somebody escaping the flames, you know, like, whoosh, 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 I barely got out of there, you know, almost got burned. That's what it says. You'll go through it. You go through the flames, but you will escape because that is the bema seat. That is where whatever you've done in this life will be refined. And if you've served Jesus, if you've taken the humble talent that he gave you, the 2 talents, 5 talents, and gone and worked for his kingdom, even though you may have blown it about 1,000,000 times like me, he's still going to say, you know, if you put it to work, the words you want to hear are, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. Take charge of much. Or in the parable of the minas, you've been faithful over five. Take charge of 5 cities. We're going to rule with Christ. We're going to reign with him. So the crowns represent reward, right? Now, salvation can't be earned. Salvation is only on the basis of the cross. Jesus came, he died, he was buried, he rose on the 3rd day. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask him to forgive your sins, and God credits you with his righteousness. You can never earn that. That is received as a free gift by faith, and Jesus gets all the glory. But you can then, after you are saved, you can run a good race. And as you run a good race, there are rewards given to the believer, and it will matter, I believe, on that day. There's a saying, you've heard it, only one life, it soon will be passed. Only what's done for Jesus will last. And so the idea of having, and this, why is that important? Because we're going to see they fall down later and they put their crown in front of the Lord. Heaven is a place of worship. The church is surrounding the throne and the 24 elders are there. And notice, I need to step it up a little bit. We're just doing chapter 4. The 7 lamps are blazing. Notice there's rumbling and lightning at the throne. God, this is awesome. God who's going to judge the world. And we are worshiping there, and there's thunder and there's lightning. And where there's a sea of glass, that speaks to me of the peace of the Lord. The beautiful peace that is ours in Christ. And the 7 lamps blazing are the 7-fold Spirit of God. That 7, again, is the number of perfection or completion. The number 7 is used 54 times in the book of Revelation. And it represents the complete Spirit of God. So the blazing lamps of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Here we are at God's throne. And he's there in majesty and power and color and beauty. And we're hearing the rumblings and we're in a sea of glass. And the elders are, 24 elders are bowing down. And God's Spirit is right there. And what a place to be, the throne of God. And then we go into verse, in the middle of verse 6, in the center, around the throne, were 4 living creatures. And they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The 1st living creature was like a lion. The 2nd was like an ox. And the 3rd had a face like a man. The 4th like a flying eagle. Each of the 4 living creatures had 6 wings. And was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Now, before we go further, these angelic beings are also described in Ezekiel chapter 1 and in Isaiah chapter 6. Slightly variant descriptions. These 4 living creatures that have wings all over and eyes all over, under their wings and so forth. This speaks, the wings speak of God's ability to be everywhere. He's omnipresent. The eyes speak of his ability to know everything. He's omniscient. He knows all things. All-knowing, all-seeing God. And these 4 living creatures with the eyes and with the wings, one of them looks like a lion, an ox, a man, and an eagle. Many people see in this the 4 gospels. The lion corresponds to the book of Matthew, where Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. And he's portrayed as the Messiah who is the lion of the tribe of Judah. In Mark's gospel, we see Jesus as a servant. And an ox is a symbol of servanthood. And we see, rather than him, a lot of Jesus' teaching in Mark's brief gospel, we see Jesus the man of action. And we see him as a servant, so the ox. And then the man, the face of the man, that corresponds to Luke, where Jesus is the Son of Man. That's that phrase is used there more than any other gospel. The Son of Man came to seek and save. Jesus rejoices in his humanity as he relates to us. And finally, the eagle, that corresponds to the book of John. Eagle is a sign of deity. He will mount up with wings as eagles. And John writes his gospel and just says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. So here we see the Messiah, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the servant, the Son of Man, and the deity of Christ in these four living creatures. Now, it says day and night, verse 8, day and night they never stop saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and who is and is to come. And whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and they lay their crowns before the throne and say, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they have been created. And so, the four living creatures crying, holy, holy, holy. Here we see the Trinity, first of all. They say it three times, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Holy, holy, holy. God is a triune God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, three persons. Just as you are made up of three, you are also a triune being. You were made in spirit, mind, and body. Holy, holy, holy. God's holiness is his number one trait, if you will. The angels are not, they're not crying loving, loving, loving. They're crying above all else, holy, holy, holy. Holiness is more than just being pure. That's part of it, for sure, a purity. But holiness is a God who never does evil of any kind. God never does evil. He's holy because he's perfect. He's sinless. He does not omit to love. God is holy. He does what is right. And he's pure. And so night and day, these four living creatures are crying, holy, 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 Lord God. Notice, who was and who is to come. Verse 8, notice that. God always was, he is now, and he always will be. You ever think about that when you were a young kid or even like yesterday? Does it ever still blow your mind that God always existed? Don't you kind of just go, wait, how did God get here? Why are we here? How come existence exists? Who made God? And the answer is nobody. God just always was and always will be. I don't understand that. All I know is I am here. Yeah, I had to get here somehow. So somebody made me, so that I didn't evolve. I don't buy the evolution thing. I've checked it out. It doesn't work. So who is God? He's not Allah. The Bible shows us who he is. And this God that we serve, amazing. He always was, he is, and he always will be. And he's holy, holy, holy. And we were created to worship him. And so you should study this chapter so you don't show up as a hillbilly in heaven and go, where are we? But you should be able to show up and go, yeah, I recognize this. There's the elders. And, this is what it's going to be right here. And we're going to worship the Lord. And by the way, if you don't like worship now, you're not going to like heaven very much. Because that's the main thing we do up there. We're going to worship. God help us to be worshipers. God is seeking worshipers in spirit and in truth. And so, whenever the four living creatures give glory and honor to God, the 24 elders fall down and they worship him. The word for worship, by the way, in the Greek is proskuneo. That word means to turn and kiss. The Old Testament word for worship, I don't remember, I forget the exact Hebrew word, but it means to fall on your face. The Hebrew word for worship in the Old Testament is to get flat on your face. You see that in Middle East greetings, they get right down on their face. But the New Testament word is to turn and face something and kiss. And it was used in the Greek language of a dog licking its master's hand. That's not that you're dogs, because you're not. But have you ever had a dog that likes you so much he gives you up? To worship God is to want to sit at his feet and adore him. That's the word. And so we will worship him. And then the 24 elders fall down and they worship him. And they lay their crowns before him. I remember someone once said, what would you do if Jesus came in the room right now? What would your reaction be? If he just came in. And I remember my answer was, give him a hug. And my friend said, no, I'd get on my face. And I rethought my answer and I thought, I'd do the same thing. If Jesus just walked in the room, I'd be on my face in worship and adoration. They fall down, they worship, they lay their crowns before him. And then in verse 11, they say, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory, honor, and power. You created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. You know, God created all things. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Through him all things were created. There's nothing that's been created except through him. God is the creator of all things. Now, I can take the things God created and build something. Man can make a car, but he makes the car out of the things that God already made. God is the maker of all things. And have you ever thought about the beauty of his creation? One of the problems with being in the city is you don't get to see the creation very much. When I was a missionary in the Philippines, we used to go snorkeling. We went to one of the best snorkeling places in the world back then, in the 1980s. And we saw so many fish that were so weird. If you've ever been to a good, and they're bloated faces, you know, it's all kinds of little, it looked like I was watching a cartoon, except there was more pictures there than any cartoon could ever think of. God's diversity just in fish alone. You ever looked at a ladybug? Cute little ladybug? I mean, the sky, the grass. We don't worship creation. We worship the creator. We don't walk up to the tree and go, hello, tree. No. We worship the God who made. But when we see God's creation, we see his beauty. His beauty is seen in creation. Even in a fallen world, which man has messed up, we still see the beauty of God in his creation. You are worthy, God, because you created all things. And for by your will, they were. King James says, for your pleasure, they were created. You were created by God's will and for God's pleasure. God was pleased to make you. He enjoyed making you. It brought him pleasure to make you. He thought you up and he put you inside of his mother's womb. And he says, I think I'll make you. I think I'll make you. And I'll make this guy. And I'll put him in his mother's womb in San Antonio, Texas in 1950. God knows what he's doing. And we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are God's creation and we were made for his pleasure. And when we serve Jesus, we experience the purpose for which we were made. As we bring pleasure to our creator, we ourselves are blessed. Church, the rapture is coming. Revelation 4, the church is caught up after these things, metatauta. And the church is going to be with heaven, in heaven. And in chapter 5, if you're here next week, we'll see the church worshiping the Lamb that redeemed them. Real quick, what does it mean to be redeemed? Redeemed. It means to buy something, to restore that which was lost. I preached at the Jesus Center, and I gave an illustration at the Jesus Center. I said, you see this watch? This watch was given to me by my daughter, okay? And let's just suppose that I was drug addicted. I'm not. But let's just suppose I needed $100 for my habit. I need $100. So I took this watch and I put it in the pawn shop over here. And I said, you keep that watch. Give me $100. Thank you. And I got my drugs. Then I realize that's my watch my daughter gave me. So I go back to the pawn shop one day and I say, can I buy that watch back? And they say, sure, for $1,000. I said, well, you know, because they gouge you, they make a profit. And I said, I don't have that kind of money. He says, I'm sorry. And someone walks in the room and says, I'll help you out. And he buys that watch back for him. He restores it. That's a very poor illustration. But this is what Jesus did for us. We, because of sin, our lives were wasted and became slaves to sin under Satan's power. But God came and he gave his son, not with money, but by shedding his blood, that we could be redeemed and brought back. We will study that next week. That's called redemption, to buy something back that was lost. So in chapter 4, God is our creator. We worship our creator. In chapter 5, we worship our redeemer. Creator, redeemer. And then we'll move on to the other chapters, which are the wrath of God during the 7-year great tribulation. And we'll study that. So we're going to have communion now. The table is set. And we're going to have communion together, each of us. So let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the book of Revelation. We thank you that you are our creator and our redeemer. And Lord, we see the 24 elders, we see the 4 living creatures, we see the throne, and we cry, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And Lord, we see the redeemer, and we say, thou art worthy, thou hast purchased us by your blood. And so we worship you this morning. Now, as we come to your table, Lord, may your name be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.